This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The end of Iran. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Monday, May 20th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump took to Twitter to warn Tehran to never threaten the United States again.
A U.S. warship sailed into disputed waters in the South China Sea in the midst of trade tensions between Washington and Beijing.
In sports, Brooks Koepka won his second straight PGA championship. He hung on for a two-stroke win over Dustin Johnson.
And the unprecedented size of the Democratic presidential primary field.
Republicans had 17 candidates, which would then broke the record from 1976 when a very large Democratic field was underway. But now we're at 24 candidates, major candidates anyway, are running on the Democratic side. And look, it's the largest. It's clearly the most diverse.
James Pindle at the Boston Globe on how size could hurt the Democrats' chances. He's here in about 2 minutes. President Trump is warning Iran to never threaten the United States again, saying on social media that doing so would be, quote, the official end of Iran. As part of the heightened rhetoric, Saudi Arabia warned it stood ready to respond with all strength and said it was up to Iran to avoid war. The saber rattling comes after last week's attacks on Saudi oil assets and the firing of a rocket yesterday into Baghdad that exploded near the U.S. Embassy. There were no injuries nor any significant damage. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton was on NBC's Meet the Press.
The United States is not going to take the first strike here. Yeah. But if Iran attacks the United States or our allies in the first strike, then it will be up to America in a time and a manner of our choosing to take the last strike because our military will devastate theirs.
Saudi Arabia has accused Tehran of ordering Tuesday's drone strikes on two of its oil pumping stations. 2 days earlier, four vessels, including two Saudi oil tankers, were sabotaged off the United Arab Emirates. Iran has denied involvement in either incident. A lone Republican on Capitol Hill is publicly calling for President Trump's impeachment. In response, the president is calling Michigan Congressman Justin Amash a loser, trying to gain popularity. Mr. Amash on Saturday took to Twitter to say that after reading special counsel Robert Mueller's full report, Mr. Trump's efforts to impede the probe of Russia interference in the 2016 election amounted to, quote, impeachable conduct. Reaction from California Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff, who was on CBS's Face the Nation.
I respect what Justin Amash is doing and has said. He showed more courage than any other Republican in the House or Senate.
Utah Senator Mitt Romney reacted to the squabble on CNN's State of the Union.
My own view is that Justin Amash has reached a different conclusion than I have. I respect him. I think it's a courageous statement. But I believe that to make a case for obstruction of justice, you just don't have the elements that are evidenced in this document.
The president's reaction on Twitter also included calling Mr. Amash a total lightweight. The number of 2020 Democratic presidential candidates has swelled to become the largest field in modern history. Last week alone, the 23rd and 24th candidates joined the primary field, with Montana Governor Steve Bullock and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio now included. It's getting harder for candidates like Pete Buttigieg to air their message. But in a town hall with Fox News in New Hampshire last evening, he pushed for four distinct tax hikes to address the budget deficits. He also said he pays no mind to critics on Twitter.
The tweets are, I don't care.
Mr. Buttigieg also wants to abolish the Electoral College. More on the crowded Democratic field from James Pindle, political reporter at the Boston Globe. James, is this similar to the GOP field in 2016?
I mean, Republicans had 17 candidates, which would then broke the record from 1976 when a very large Democratic field was underway. But now we're at 24 candidates, major candidates anyway, are running on the Democratic side. And look, it's the largest. It's clearly the most diverse. That's very exciting and does do some very positive things for the party. It clearly creates a bench. But there's some negative sides, and I think they may outweigh them.
All right, so number one, you say presidential primaries provide a rare chance for political parties to figure out where they stand, but this isn't happening yet.
It's not. Usually, if you look historically, we would now be in the phase where we know who's in the race, and we're beginning to understand the contours of it. So if you want to go back on the, say, on the, to stick with the Democrats, in 2003, we had an incumbent Republican president in George W. Bush, so to try to keep things consistent. By now, we started figuring out that, you know, Howard Dean and his position on the war and how that factored in with the positions of John Kerry and John Edwards was going to be an emerging theme, an emerging issue in this race, and it was really splinter it. We begin to see the early dynamics. We didn't know where it was going to play out, but we began to see it. Right now, we're just trying to learn who the heck these people are, how to pronounce their name, and their rationale for running. We're not even getting to what this debate is actually about. You know, for some, people will say, you know, this is about the party trying to be leftward or more to the center, and I guess that's a generic thing we always jump back to, but is it about the Green New Deal? Is it about just pure electability against Donald Trump? Is it about income inequality? Is it about climate change? Is it about foreign policy? We don't even know what we're going to be debating in the months to come, and that is sort of a diversion from where we were in the past. And I think the party loses something from that, because we should have a vigorous debate, the Democrats should, on where they're headed. And right now, they're just trying to figure out the alphabet of who's running.
All right, yeah, so this getting to know you phase will continue, as you point out, but for how long?
Right now, I mean, it's going to last for at least another couple months when we go through these debates trying to figure out people on the debate stage.
Speaking with James Pindle, political reporter at the Boston Globe. He's written a piece entitled "The 2020 Democratic Field is Unprecedented." That may not be a good thing for the party. All right, point number two, you said a large field means Democrats could be headed to a brokered convention. Explain.
Well, look, we haven't had a brokered convention since 1952, but every cycle, pundits start wondering if this is going to be the next time we'll have a brokered convention in a major TV era. But look, this time it could obviously happen. You have so many candidates who could split up the delegates just by definition. But we said that last time when Donald Trump was headed to a convention with so many people. And, of course, it wasn't a brokered convention. There was some hijinks, but he won easily on the first ballot. But, I mean, I would point out that the Republican Party rules are different than the Democratic Party rules. So Donald Trump, even if he would win by 51%, he would get all of the delegates in a particular congressional district or even in some cases states. Democrats do it all proportionally. So this process will last much longer.
Thanks, James. James Pindle, political reporter at the Boston Globe. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. The U.S. Navy says one of its warships sailed near the disputed waters of the South China Sea, one of a number of flashpoints in the strained relationship between Washington and Beijing. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Reuters is reporting that a U.S. destroyer carried out the operation in waters near the Scarborough Shoal, an area claimed by China. A spokesman for the 7th Fleet said the move was to challenge excessive maritime claims and preserve access to the waterways as governed by international law. It was the second such U.S. military operation in the South China Sea in the last month. The operation was the latest attempt to counter what Washington sees as Beijing's efforts to limit freedom of navigation. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The move is likely to anger Beijing at a time of tense ties between the world's two biggest economies. China struck a more aggressive tone in its trade war with the U.S. on Friday. The tough talk capped a week that saw Beijing unveil fresh retaliatory tariffs. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump has issued another warning to Iran, suggesting it will be destroyed if a conflict breaks out between the two countries. He tweeted yesterday, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. Retired General David Petraeus told ABC the president may respond more forcefully than past administrations to Iranian aggression.
It's pretty clear that he doesn't want to go to war with Iran. He's not after regime change. He's after what Secretary Pompeo has announced as the objective, which is regime behavior change.
The U.S. has deployed additional warships and planes to the Gulf in recent days. The Justice Department has requested the case files of accused war criminals from the Pentagon, signaling that President Trump might be interested in pardoning them. One of the document's requests is for the Navy SEAL Special Operations Chief Edward Gallagher, who is scheduled to soon stand trial on charges that he shot unarmed civilians and knifed a captive enemy in Iraq. The administration's also requested paperwork for a former Blackwater security contractor found guilty in the 2007 shooting of unarmed Iraqis, a major accused of killing an unarmed Afghan in 2010, and for a group of Marine Corps snipers charged with urinating on dead Taliban fighters. Swedish authorities today issued a request for a detention order against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who is now jailed in Britain. The development sets up a possible future tug of war between Sweden and the U.S. over any extradition of Assange from Britain. Brooks Koepka survived a near calamity to win the PGA Championship for a second consecutive year. Koepka held a 7-stroke lead at the start of the final round, but almost lost control of the title when he made 4 successive bogeys from the 11th hole before staving off Dustin Johnson for a 2-stroke victory at Bethpage Black.
Today was definitely the most satisfying out of all of them for how stressful that round was, how stressful DJ made that.
Koepka shot a 4-over par 74 to finish at 8 under 272 and captured his 4th major title in his last 8 starts in Grand Slam events.
Wow, those are big numbers. He responded. He almost
didn't sound very excited in that cut, did he?
No. Sure, he's greatly relieved at his near collapse. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You've heard some of the horror stories. In recent years, millions of vehicles have been recalled for defective airbags that killed at least 24 people. Still, properly functioning airbags greatly increase the odds of surviving a severe crash, especially if the driver follows other basic safety rules. More from Jamie Leroux, business reporter at the Detroit Free Press. Jamie, set this up.
Technology has improved incredibly with airbags, and while they still deploy at 200 miles per hour, okay, it's an intense impact on your body, they do save your life, and the kind of injury you're going to get is probably going to be minor compared to if you didn't have them. But we're talking about airbags that are properly manufactured, functioning, they inflate properly. We're not talking about airbags that do not work and malfunction, don't deploy or deploy in the case of Takata, where they expel debris that have killed people. So we're talking about properly functioning airbags, which is, you know, why it's critical that if you do receive a recall notice, you go get it fixed. Otherwise, it's like jumping out of an airplane without a properly packed parachute. It's not going to do you any good.
Right. I would imagine, based on technicalities and such, it's hard to actually compare numbers, right? People whose deaths are blamed on airbags versus lives that may have been saved. Has anybody taken any kind of shot at that?
It is hard to compare because even when we were trying to put it together and figure it out, you know, you can look at it as such where defective airbags have killed at least 24 people worldwide. Okay. However, there's also been airbags that have failed to deploy that have resulted in 8 deaths that we know of. And then you've got the airbags, like I say, back in the early part of being put in vehicles, back in like the late 90s or so, you had about 290 people be killed by the impact of the airbag. So you have to kind of look at that and say, okay, how do we break this up as in terms of an airbag that actually killed somebody, a Takata airbag, that's 24. The ones that failed to deploy, 8 people died because they failed to deploy, but the airbag didn't actually kill them. So there's those fine lines of how you're going to define these things. In 2016 alone, again, that's the most recent data we could find, airbags have saved about 2,700 people's lives. That's a huge, bigger number than when you look at the amount that have died.
Well, you open with this woman in your story who's pregnant, right in the SUV, slams into a tractor trailer, and wasn't hurt from what she saw, like the hips up, and the baby was born prematurely, but healthy otherwise. Man, I mean, almost like an ad for airbags, you know, and safety.
Yeah, she had a very compelling story, and you know, the other woman I used in the story as well, she spoke of an experience as well that the airbag definitely saved her life. Both also had their seatbelts on, which is critical. Because that does help to hold you in your seat.
Jamie LaRoe, business reporter at the Detroit Free Press. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Does your furniture bring you joy, or are you just one couch or chair away from saying, "This is my home"? Home should be your haven, a place that's uniquely you. Joybird can turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options crafted to your unique taste. If you can dream it, Joybird can transform it into quality, handcrafted furniture. Each piece is made with care and precision, using high-quality hardwood and reasonably sourced materials to fit your expectations. Not 100% sure? Our free personal design consultants can help you nail down your perfect design. And with their 365-day home trial, you can skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Find your joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Gordon. Go to joybird.com/Gordon and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order today by using the code Gordon at joybird.com.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday, May 20th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump warns Iran about further threats. Severe storms raked parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, Louisiana. A Republican congressman from Michigan says Mr. Trump should be impeached. The president responded by calling him a loser and a lightweight. The Raptors win in double overtime against the Bucks. Still trail 2-1, though. John Wick replaces Avengers atop the box office. And what a shock for students during yesterday's commencement address at Morehouse College. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Very special announcement ahead. Get up to $300 off select Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. Call 800-BUY-DELL or go to dell.com/Memorial Day. Stalled trade talks between Beijing and Washington are exacerbating a slump in the U.S. farm belt, and many farmers don't believe an aid package being assembled by the Trump administration will be enough to compensate for the economic damage. Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrun says now that a deal has slipped from the grasp of negotiators, farmers are facing the likelihood that the deepest downturn in the agricultural economy since the 1980s could be prolonged. Josh, what are you hearing?
The farm sector was really the hardest hit by the kind of ongoing trade tensions that we've had with China. You know, the basic math is just that China has 1.4 billion people that need a lot of food, a lot more food than China's capable of producing. And so one of the biggest potential wins that you would have been able to get out of a trade deal would be really opening up that market to make it easier for farmers to sell more products to China. And what happened over the past couple of weeks is that the talks with China have really gone backwards. And so instead of getting a big trade deal that would have legitimately been a really big win for farmers, the administration has decided that they're going to roll out a kind of a farm aid package, kind of a farm bailout package. And, you know, farmers are really in tough times right now, and so they're, you know, they need that support. But we talked to a large number of them, and the main farm groups all have the same message, which is that they really want access to the Chinese market more than they want another bailout program. Mm.
All right. So you mentioned the story that Sonny Perdue, the agriculture secretary, has said this package could be between $15 to $20 billion.
Yeah, that's right. They're looking at a $15 to $20 billion package. It'll be a number of different programs, but what they did last year, they did a program like this last year, and the way the main part of the program last year worked is that farmers just got a direct payment on different crops to kind of offset some of the losses they'd taken. I mean, you look at the market prices of soybeans, and this year they hit their lowest level in since the recession. And when you look at farm incomes, they're also near the same level as they were during the recession. So we're, you know, it's not an exaggeration to say that the farm sector is practically in a recession right now. And, you know, they're trying to get payments in here to address that.
I guess the wicked weather and all the flooding isn't helping either.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the trade war. In fact, the farm sector has been struggling for several years here. I mean, commodity prices had been a little bit weak in general. Interest rates are starting to rise. You know, bad weather is something that can really damage the ability of a lot of farmers to raise crops. And so it's been a tough environment to begin with. And so to have kind of these China trade talks collapse on top of all that, you know, for some of these, one of the farmers told us that, you know, they still had some hope. And when that trade deal fell apart is when the despair kicked in.
We're speaking with Josh Zumbrun, Wall Street Journal economics reporter. His piece is called U.S. Farmers Wanting a Trade Deal, Brace for Aid Package They Fear Will Fall Short. You know what struck me, too? At one point in the story, you quoted a farmer who was referencing his son, who was a farmer, too, and he said last month he got the same paid price for milk as what he got when he graduated high school in 1972.
Yeah, you know, it's really, that gives you an idea of how much backwards some of these prices have really gone. I mean, the fact that 47 years later, you're seeing some of the same prices is pretty alarming, because it's not as if, you know, land has gotten more expensive and the fertilizer's gotten more expensive and the seed has gotten more expensive, the cows have gotten more expensive. You know, everything's getting more expensive in these operations, but the prices have fallen so far, it's back a generation. So it really speaks to how difficult of an environment this is. You know, I mean, farmers are used to up and down cycles, but this is really getting to be a pretty severe down cycle.
How much pressure is the Trump administration under right now from the farm industry to get a resolution to this?
Well, you know, this is definitely a group that they care about. I mean, when the deal fell apart, one of the first things that the president did was start tweeting about how they were going to put together this package. And by all accounts, they are working on a package that'll help. I mean, all the farmers say that this will help, but that what they really need is kind of the ability to sell that food to 1.4 billion people.
All right. Thanks, Josh. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrun. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we here at the This Morning Show definitely feel for those who have to wake up early and can't stay up to watch TV shows when they first run, hoping to stay spoiler-free for at least 24 hours before they're able to fire up the DVR. So we most definitely will not be revealing any key moments from last night's Game of Thrones finale. What we will say to those who haven't seen it yet is, keep your eyes peeled. There may be another artifact from our modern world that made it into the GOT universe. Eagle-eyed Thrones fans are pointing out a possible plastic water bottle that appears in one scene. The bottle was spotted peeking out behind one character's leg by a Twitter user named Beth, who posted zoomed-in still images of the alleged gaffe. Others soon echoed her find, and another user posted an image of what they thought was another bottle on camera in a scene. Whether real or imagined, the clip is getting people talking, having having been watched well over 500,000 times already since last night.
Wow.
I mean, if it's real, and you know people can doctor these kind of things.
Yeah,
but
true.
If it's real, it definitely looks like a real, you know, plastic water bottle just sitting there behind one character's leg.
And
not covered up very well.
With no brand. You can't see the brand on it?
I mean, you know.
So it's not product placement.
Yeah, yeah. It
right?
doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got the label on it and everything. And, you know, we can't see what it is. But, yeah, it's got a label and everything. It's a, you know, regular water bottle out of a machine on set someplace.
Okay. So after the apparent Starbucks cup of coffee that appeared, what, a week or two ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Are we starting to get the impression that producers or editors are thinking this is just another way to generate publicity for the program?
I don't know. I think other people are going taking the other tact, which is this was a very rushed season, it seems like everything was kind of thrown together here to kind of rush this out.
Uh-huh.
That's what it appears.
Okay.
And
did somebody get killed last night, by the way? I presume somebody got killed on the show.
I have no
that's
idea.
What happens,
that's pretty much every week somebody gets killed.
Slashed.
At least one.
Impaled, something like that.
Yeah. And you can't fault a bride for not wanting to be upstaged on her wedding day, but you could also imagine a few empty seats and a lot of other people watching their phone during these nuptials. According to a UK wedding forum, a bride-to-be unluckily scheduled her wedding on June 1st, which happens to be the day of the Champions League soccer final involving Liverpool.
Oh.
The bride, well aware that the majority of the people attending her wedding are from Liverpool, has put out a notice saying that the game will not be put on any of the TVs, doesn't want anyone to ask for it to be put on, or for anyone to leave to watch it or watch it on their phones. The responses to the post have been fairly divided, with some users siding with the bride on the assumption that half of their guests will wind up disappearing to watch the game, while others thought that the guests had the right to not show up or to find a way to see the game by any means necessary.
Wow, she put out a notice.
Yes. I mean, she knows what she's dealing with here, you know, obviously, in the, you know, soccer rabid UK. She knows it's going to be a problem. But could you imagine, you know,
this
you've been planning
tough.
This for a year, right? And now this is going to throw a huge monkey wrench into your day. So I see, I don't know. Again, I'm not the bride, but I feel like kind of embrace it. I feel like, you know, everybody kind of, the whole wedding kind of gathered around watching it on TV at some point would kind of be like a fun bonding moment for everyone.
I guess.
You would think.
But it would take attention away from the bride.
Right.
This
brides
is her day.
Don't like that.
Ooh,
yes.
I would not want to have to make that decision. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions and easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attention, special Memorial Day announcement ahead. Dell's official Memorial Day event is back, and it's better than ever. You're getting up to $300 off select Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy awesome deals on the latest electronics and accessories like Bose headphones. And remember, free shipping on absolutely everything. Get some of the best deals of the year now, courtesy of Dell. Call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL. Or go to Dell.com/Memorial Day.
Thanks for being with us. Keep this in mind. Next time you go to the gym, you've probably heard that muscle burns fat, but PopSugar.com says there's more to it than that. Rondell King, an exercise physiologist at NYU Langone's Sports Performance Center, says it's not necessarily that muscle burns fat. He says for your body to utilize fat and burn it, the body has to convert triglycerides into glucose. To be completely clear, no, muscle doesn't directly burn fat. Instead, the fat molecules have to be converted into glucose, then your muscle will be able to use it for fuel, aka burn it. It's a pretty complex process, but at the end of the day, remember these two things. Muscle doesn't directly burn fat, and the more muscle you have, the more calories you'll burn. To get started burning fat and building muscle, try a couple of these. A strength workout that will burn fat and help boost your metabolism. A 30-minute total body conditioning workout. A 30-minute total body workout for beginners, or a 4-week workout plan to lose weight and build muscle. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Trump has issued a new threat to Tehran, tweeting that a conflict would be the official end of Iran. The heightened rhetoric follows last week's attacks on Saudi oil assets and the firing of a rocket yesterday into Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone. that exploded near the U.S. Embassy. Republican Senator Mitt Romney spoke about the tensions on CNN.
I don't believe for a minute that either the president or John Bolton or, frankly, anyone else in a serious senior position of leadership in the White House has any interest in going to the Middle East and going to war. That's just not going to happen. There's no interest in doing that.
A State Department official says yesterday's rocket attack in Baghdad did not hit a U.S. inhabited facility and produced no casualties nor any significant damage. No claims of responsibility have been made. The New York Times reports that anti-money laundering specialists at Deutsche Bank recommended in 2016 and 17 that multiple transactions involving entities controlled by President Trump and his son-in-law Jared Kushner be reported to a federal financial crimes watchdog. The newspaper says executives at the German-based bank, which has lent billions of dollars to the Trump and Kushner companies, rejected their employees' advice, and the reports were never filed with the government. A spokeswoman for the Trump Organization called the Times report absolute nonsense. The central and southern plains, which have already been battered by pounding thunderstorms, tornadoes, and hail, are facing another round of dangerous weather. The National Weather Service says a potent spring storm system is expected to bring more thunderstorms to the region today. The warning includes Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Texas, which are still reeling from weekend tornadoes and storms.
You think you can take John Wick? Got a nasty surprise coming.
The box office has a new king, and his name is John Wick. The third installment of the hyper-violent Keanu Reeves franchise has taken the top spot at the box office and ended the three-week reign of Avengers Endgame. John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum grossed $57 million in its opening weekend, while Avengers slid to second place. Pokemon Detective Pikachu plays third, and A Dog's Journey opened in fourth.
I guess my surprise there is that Pokemon Detective Pikachu would place number three in today's box office.
You didn't see that this weekend?
Did not. I missed that one. Man. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. How about this announcement at your graduation? All your student loan debt is being paid off. Billionaire investor Robert Smith surprised graduating students at Morehouse College in Atlanta yesterday during his commencement speech by promising to pay off the student loan debt of the entire class of 2019.
This is my class, 2019. And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans.
Wow, he added, I know my class will make sure they pay this forward. Forbes magazine, by the way, estimates that Mr. Smith, founder and chief executive of the private equity firm Vista Equity Partners, has a net worth of about $4.4 billion. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.